Welcome to another episode of Journeys in Entrepreneurship. Today we have Professor Koyin Ajayi. Professor Ajayi is a partner at Olaniyi Ajayi LP, a leading corporate and commercial law firm in Nigeria. His expertise spans various fields of litigation and transactional work, and he has over 39 years' experience in banking, project finance, capital markets, power, infrastructure, M&A, energy and natural resources, privatization, and dispute resolution. Interviewing him is an alumni from Faith Foundation's Aspiring Entrepreneurs Program, AEP 62, Toyin Williams. Toyin is the founder and current chief executive officer of the People Impact Company, a prime HR consulting firm dedicated to improve talent management practices for small and medium-scale businesses. Join us as we listen to their journeys in entrepreneurship.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Journeys in Entrepreneurship by Faith Foundation. My name is Toyin Williams. I am the founder of the People Impact Company, an HR consulting firm based in Lagos. Today, we have the honor of having Professor Koyin Ajayi in our midst. Good morning, Professor.
Morning, Toyin.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. And I'm glad to know that you've set up an enterprise that is looking at impact on young people. Very nice.
Thank you very much, Doctor. I am happy and honored to be here. To give context, I used to be the HR manager at Olaniyi Ajayi a couple of years ago. So it's a double honor for me to be talking to Dr. Ajayi.
Great honor to speak to you and to the audience.
Thank you very much, Doctor. A number of young people, when they want to set up a business, are concerned about how to start and maintain a successful enterprise. Dr. Ajayi was the managing partner of Olaniyi Ajayi LP, one of the foremost law firms in Nigeria. If we had to make a pick of five law firms, Olaniyi Ajayi would be in the list of five. If we whittle down that list to three, Olaniyi Ajayi would still retain their spot, so they are a top law firm in Nigeria. Now, Dr. Ajayi, please, we would like to split this interview into three parts. The first part will be focusing on you. The second part will focus on the business that you have helped to build over the years. And the third part will be focusing on what success strategies do you have for young entrepreneurs like myself. So, over the years, you have built a formidable brand for yourself. Your name is a door opener. A lot of people are more than happy to associate with you and with the law firm Olaniyi Ajayi. Please, can you tell us, how did you get here?
Okay, well, thank you very much. I think the first thing to say is that, you know, setting out requires a number of things. And a number of people think that, you know, consultants and great people like you that say you need a strategy for people, you need a vision, at times it's just theoretical, but it's not. So the first thing is you must have a vision of what you want to do. Mm. You must have in mind where you want to go. And that vision has to be larger than life, such that people would say, oh, this is not achievable.
Really?
Because what that does is that it drives you to continuous improvement in your systems and helps you in ensuring that when those sure hurdles come, you overcome them. When you run into a pothole on our roads, you hit a brick wall on our roads, you hit unimaginable traffic on our roads, you do not give up. You keep going. So your vision helps you to do that because you know that this is where I'm going. And because the vision is larger than life, it does something. It guarantees you the fuel to take you to what you really can best achieve and sets the stage for you to be able to hand over that enterprise to the next generation. Because this vision actually is bigger than you. And so they will then continue with that. Second thing that is important is this. Commitment. You need the commitment. Now, if you are not committed to the cause, if you are not like an evangelist to this your vision, then you will get tired. And you cannot afford to get tired.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot afford to give up. Especially in our environment where things are very difficult, you know, for everybody. We're going through very difficult times. Climate chaos, as they call it now. Economic recession that we have in the country. The insecurity. The lack of physical infrastructure. The lack of social infrastructure. A rather aggressive regulatory approach by government.
Right.
You know, makes it very difficult for many, many people, old and young, to start or to continue. So you need that commitment to your vision, to your determination to succeed, to carry on. And then, of course, the third thing that you then need is consistency. But consistency in what? In excellence. You've got to be consistent in excellence. And because excellence itself is a continuum defined by the desires of men, which changes with time, you have to continue to be excellent, moving with the demands of man, because what you're doing as a business person is to serve society.
Absolutely.
So those are the three key things I would say that one needs.
Thank you very much. So you have said a vision that is larger than life, commitment, and being excellent. Consistent in excellence. And because the bar is always rising, you have to continue to strive to be excellent. Thank you so much for that, Professor Ajayi. The other thing I wanted us to explore just a little bit is that you're a professor at law. You have authored over 150 published articles. And if I were to quote, you have been called the lawyer of lawyers. How did you achieve such a formidable brand for yourself as an individual? Because a lot of young entrepreneurs, when starting out their business, they are more concerned about getting customers in through the door. And it's a bit of treat yourself last kind of approach. And it does happen because you're swallowed up by the journey of just trying to get this enterprise off the ground. But you have managed to consistently curate an almost perfect brand for yourself. Please, can you share with us how you did that?
I'm not sure I can answer that easily.
Doctor, don't be modest. Now is not the time for you to be modest. Please tell us how it's done.
Okay, Tony. So, I mean, honest truth is, I think it's very important that you should be concerned about your reputation.
Okay.
Is what I'll call it. But colloquially, your brand.
Your brand, yeah.
But that brand and that reputation should be about the excellence, the impact that you bring to society. And the respect that you get. So I guess for me, the thing that determines how you build, maintain, and polish your brand or reputation is your desire to be respected. And I think once that is desired, to be respected, to be considered a worthy person, you would find that those things that we spoke about, you know, at the beginning will be a bit easier for you to achieve. Now, to be committed and consistent is certainly not easy.
Yep.
But having said so, it is said that if you have commitment and you have a great vision that you're committed to, then your work will not be difficult. Your work will be pleasurable. It will require a lot of sacrifice on one's part to build a good reputation, to build a good brand. Now, you had mentioned that for us starting out, especially in a harsh environment, you're more or less consumed.
Yes.
By getting the customer, you know, in trying to get the customer through the door, you're consumed in trying to make sure that the people that will serve the customers are happy,
yep.
which is the, what you do.
Yes.
And that's very important. So, you know, it therefore requires a lot of sacrifice. And I think once one knows that to get there, you need to climb a ladder. And you know that there is a ladder of life. It's slightly easier. And I think the problem is that a number of us want a great brand, a great reputation, but we do not recognize that ladder of life.
Mm.
So maybe some of us would look at Bonoboy.
Okay.
Or would look at Tiwai Bello.
Okay.
People with great brands in the country. And imagine that, you know, they just drop from the sky. But it's not so. Those people work very, very hard. And it is quite tasking for creative people to do what they do. Conceiving these things that they conceive, the music they sing, the songs they write, the composition of and the arrangement of the music takes time. And thinking takes its toll on the body in a way that is much more significant than physical exercise.
Absolutely.
Because when you do these things and one is not careful to ensure a proper balance in what one is doing, you then develop things like hypertension, high blood pressure, which you don't get from, you know, doing physical activity, because indeed that helps your blood pressure.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of sacrifice to do these things. And once one is determined to be respected, one is determined that your name must count and not your money, then I think these things will be achieved.
So whilst you were talking, and thank you very much for that, Professor Ajayi, I had a curveball question at the tip of my tongue.
Okay.
You spoke about the ladder of life. And I know that mostly young people, especially the Generation Z, who are more millennial than I am, are quite concerned about how do I quickly become successful, as though there was a shortcut to success. Now, you have shown by your example that, and all you've said to us this morning, that there is a journey. But I'd like you to shed a bit more on that ladder of life, just so that our audience understands the behind the scenes of what actually makes a successful person.
Okay, so, I thought, you know, so because of economy of time, we've spoken about sacrifice. Now, we've spoken about, the other thing to speak about is then reality.
Hmm.
So I guess the way to look at this is that who sees any life that is fully formed and successful when it is born? Which tree becomes a tree without going through time? Which person is able to stand and run without going through time? So one of the most important things to us as human beings is time.
Mm.
But to God, time is nothing.
Relative, yeah.
But time defines everything for us. And so once we recognize that everything we do is time, then we begin to understand that there is indeed a ladder of life.
Mm.
Now, that ladder of life is in many forms and is climbed in different ways. So you may say, I'm GB. GB is the co-founder of Flutterwave. He's a young man and he's highly successful. And one may say, well, okay, GB just started this business six years ago and look at him. But the truth is, GB was doing something before he did this. And yes, GB has been successful in this 6-year journey.
Yep.
And GB's enterprise is now valued at over $1 billion.
Fantastic valuation.
Some publications say that the business is bigger than most banks put to a lot of banks put together in Nigeria. And these are banks that have been here for 20, long 30 long. Years. So I guess, so I'm speaking to the person who says, well, but how about GB? How about the artist who came out with one song and hit it? Yes, it is true that some of us are successful very quickly. And such is life. But let us remember that for every artist that comes out with one record that is highly successful, there are probably 1,000 that have failed with much better songs. At times, that artist is successful, not necessarily because his music is the best, but he came out at the right time. He found DJs that liked him, and he found radio hosts that played him.
And promoted his music.
We like music that we hear all the time.
Yes.
We like music that other people move to. So when other people don't move to the music, don't like the music, it doesn't do good to us.
Yeah.
So truth is that we need to then begin to look at averages. And that what is the average? I mean, and this just being scientific. What is the average? What is deducible from the sum total of the evidence that we have? And what is deducible is that as we human beings in life go through a ladder, go through different stages, as the vegetation out there goes through the same, as animals go through the same, so the business. So our business. Our business, at the end of the day, is like a human being that also has to grow.
And needs time.
And needs time to grow. So the question is, how are you nurturing your business? How are you tilling its ground? How are you wetting it? How are you making sure that it gets the right sunshine that it needs? And those are the things that we must do to make sure that our business succeeds. And maybe one thing I'd like to say, which is very important, is that for me, customer is not king.
Really?
No.
You're spinning it on its head, Doctor.
Customer is not king. What you do is king.
People
are king. The people that work with you, and you must see them as working with you and not for you, are king. Because at the end of the day, that is the agency of the business. That is the agency to serve that customer. That is the agency to serve that client. So without these people, with the best machines that you have, when you bring AI and all that, there is still a human agency that will determine that this is the best machine to buy. So if we don't take exceptional care of our people, the people that we work with, we see them as our people, we see them as people working together and not working for me, I think there'll be a problem. And I think, on the other hand, if you have a people proposition in your business, even as a very young person, it will succeed. Just look at it this way. Nannies that are taken care of by parents, respected by children, treat the children a lot better.
Absolutely.
The nannies that, you know, the mother is always shouting at and nasty to. You go out, they take it out on your child.
Immediately.
So, it's just life.
Thank you very much for that, Professor. Very well said. Very well said. There is the thought about time is something I would like us to dwell on a bit more. And this time around, we will be talking about Olanuwa Ajayi as a legal practice. It's interesting to note that Olanuwa Ajayi started in the early 60s by Sir Olanuwa Ajayi himself. Very respected, an institution. But tell me, what has been the evolution of Olanuwa Ajayi till now? I, because of my stint in the business, I have a very good idea of how wonderful, and it's not chalking it up. When new lawyers straight out of law school, they would do most things to get an internship at Olanu Ajayi because of the quality of the law firm. But I wanted you to speak to it from the position of someone who orchestrated that quality. What has been the intent behind crafting Olanu Ajayi to be one of the most famous law firms in Lagos as of today?
All right, so I can't claim credit for it. I think we have to put it to the founder and then to the partners of the firm.
Absolutely.
So speaking for them, and not
but
for
you
myself,
did lead them as managing partner for a number of years.
So that's the other thing. So we were working as a team.
Very true.
And like a chief judge, like the president, like a governor, managing partner, you got to see yourself as a member of the team and not the boss. I think it's very important because it helps us to put our feet on the ground and to be real and be able to connect with people, which I spoke about, and being, you know, caring about their concerns and their desires and their wishes and their needs, to make sure that the workplace for them is a place of enjoyment, is a means of fulfillment and not a chore. So what's the evolution of the firm? The evolution of the firm is, well, started in 1962, and with a passion to build an institution by the founder from the beginning, drove him and those of us that came after him to focusing, one, on people, two, excellence, and three, integrity. So integrity and excellence and everything else that the firm did to evolve from a sole proprietorship in 1962 to being today the largest employer of lawyers in the country is the people. Because without the people, it is people that determines whether you have integrity or not. So you have a lot of integrity, and the people around me, everybody around me, the guys that face the customers have integrity, it's a problem. If they are not excellent in what they do, there's a problem. So it's, again, it comes down to the people. So there's always been a deliberate policy of A, hiring the best in the market, B, taking good care of them, and nurturing them in international best practice. So the firm, before it became fashionable to do so, did quite a number of things. The evolution is one that has been driven always before it became fashionable to be disruptive and innovative.
Absolutely.
Other thing is that, again, without, you know, meeting great people like you who are the business side of what we do, is that we, you know, kind of as a firm, imbibe those things that they teach you in business school, which the consultants tell you and say you must do. And so, as I said, from very early on, we brought in a lot of things that we would go out and see is being done in banks, and we then try to replicate it in a small way, or it's being done in, at that time, Arthur Anderson, and try to replicate it and started building on stuff like that. And that in itself then created an ecosystem that started to attract people. Not now necessarily because of just the law, but being part of an ecosystem that is professional. You find that, you know, bad as our educational system is, Nigeria produces some of the best professionals you can get anywhere in the world.
That's very true.
You have a lot of young people that are highly talented and have a vision of what they want. They like to work in a professional institution, and they're not necessarily interested in a one-man business that may be very prosperous, but then they will die. So they want an institution that is a platform for them to grow. So some of them come, and we know that these people have come not to stay or aim to be partners, but to learn, to grow, serve as a platform then for them to do other things. And, you know, this has helped the firm because we've been a nursery of excellence. We're happy to be, to feed the market and feed the world with great talent. And because of that system, we continue to be a sponge of evolution, of change. Because the more new good people you bring, the more ideas come to the table. And as long as you have more senior people that believe in young people, you're made.
That's a very fantastic viewpoint, Doctor. And I must say it's very divergent with most small business owners. My business, The People Impact, focuses on supporting small businesses. And the troubling thing with many small business owners is they find it difficult to let go of people. They struggle to attract the right kind of people. And for me, that's a huge worry. That's one of the things that drove me to start the business in the first place. How do I take all of the institutional knowledge that I have and how do I distill it into retail version for a small business person to be able to help? Now, with Olaniwa Ajayi, you said something that was very different, which is that you're happy to be a nursery. A number of small businesses will kick against that. They sort of have some antiquated thinking, if I might add, that once someone joins you, they can't leave you. But the truth about it is, especially with the millennial generation, there is no job. They don't even want a job for life. They are happy to come in, learn, grow to a certain point. If the terms are favorable, they would stay. If they are not favorable, they would leave, but definitely not on acrimonious terms. Now, you as an institution, your institution has been able to embrace that thinking. And that has helped you to be able to attract the brightest minds. And I know for a fact that some leave, some come back. And you accept them back. There is no acrimony about it. And that is something that I would love entrepreneurs to tap into, because there is no such thing as a job for life. Nobody wants to work with an institution for life, quote and unquote. Terms of reference change all of the time.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm really happy that, I mean, you're very embracive of that. Your organization has embraced that for a long, long time. And I do hear that you have been working from home for a long, long time. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Okay. So, again, as I said, you have to believe in the next generation. You have to believe in the youth. You have to believe in empowering those behind you. And you have to see your success in A, replicating yourself, but more important, bringing up people that are much better than you are. Now, the problem is there are many human beings that compete with themselves and therefore do not want anybody else to be as good as or better than them.
Sadly so.
Which kills ideas. So, because we believe in young people in the firm came and because we have an open door policy, we're very transparent, they came up and said, well, you know, we don't like this working hours, you know, we're different, it's not a job for life, we have, you know, various talents, you know, I still like to sing, I would like to act and so on and so forth.
And retain my job at the same time.
So we said, okay, let's look at it. So they originally came and were complaining about dressing. They didn't want to come to work in suit or formal attire. They wanted to come to work casual and, you know, have a bit of flexibility in the hours. So, you know, the partners went and said, well, you know, just let's go the whole hog, right? Let's review this. And we spoke to our HR person. So why don't you just review this? And this is well before COVID.
Yes.
And see what we can do. And we started what we call tomorrow today.
Okay.
I.e., we're going into the future now. So we changed the system and allowed flexible hours, come to work the way you like, be responsible, deliver on your job.
Hmm.
So when COVID came, before government locked down, we locked down.
Hmm.
We shut the office, and because we had deployed technology to enable us work from home and work flexible hours, it's been not a problem. And we're still not back in the office.
Wow.
Yes, so since March last year, we've not resumed. And we've been doing everything that we did before, in some cases a lot better, the lessons we're learning. Truth though is that some people would have fared better if they were working with other people around them. But we're happy that, you know, this has worked well for us. And this is because we had been positioned to do it before the market required it.
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much, Professor Ajayi, for that. One of the points I wanted us to talk a bit more on is you did say something very interesting, which was that when the business started in 1962 by Saolaniwa Ajayi, it was an SME.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 59 years strong. It's one of the biggest employers of legal people in Nigeria. How do you transit a business? So I'm sure a lot of our viewers would want to hear, how do you transit from being an SME? Because a number of businesses will start as an SME. It's not every time you get external funding and you become a flutter wave. Many times you will remain a small business for a bit, but the transition from being a small business into a brand that is globally recognized is something, if you could give us one or two points that we can apply, that would be awesome.
Okay, so very quickly, first thing is, there's nothing like small business.
Oh, okay. Scratch that.
A business is a business.
Okay.
A business is a human being, and we're born in different ways. Some of us are born into rich families, some of us are not born into rich families. Some of us are born talented, some of us born not talented.
Mm.
So that's the first thing.
Okay.
So there's no small business. Second thing, who is the biggest businessman in Nigeria today? Aliko Dangote.
Mm-hmm.
He was a small business. You know, if you want to look at it that way. So, and there are many other people that are highly successful today that were like that.
Mm.
If you look at politics, there are people that are local government councillors and have become heads of state. So the first thing is that you should not see yourself as small business.
Hmm.
See yourself as a young business.
Okay.
That requires certain assistance.
A young business
that requires assistance. Preferential funding, assistance from great organizations like Faith Foundation, working with people like you that, you know, do impact for, you know, young businesses, I would say, and so on and so forth. So there's that. Now, once you see your business as a business and not a small business,
okay,
you begin to apply the principles and the methods of big business in a small way. So, from the beginning, you have an accountant. In the beginning, you keep proper books.
Proper records.
Right? And you start running yourself in a structured manner. Your checkbook is separate from office checkbook. You do not write checks for your canvas or your buba and shokoto or your lipstick or your wig from office checkbook.
Wow.
Even if it is funding you, write a check in your name for your salary or a bonus or whatever, pay it into your account, and from there let it go to whatever person you're doing. So you can keep proper books. So again, what we spoke about is the discipline. So you need the discipline to see your business as a business and apply basic business principles to it. And it continues to grow.
Wow. Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Professor Ajayi, for those pointers you've given us. And if anything, there is a major mind shift, which is that it's not a small business, it's a young business. And if it's a young business, you can apply the principles of a much more bigger established business in the way you run your business now, putting in the right structures from the get-go. To be seated in this chair talking to you, I am visibly excited.
So, before you run away,
okay,
so you've got to tell us how you impact people.
Oh, okay.
So let me know.
I'm very passionate about people. Like you, I agree that with all of the factors of production being present, people are the only thing your competitors can't imitate. So if you go and get technology today, trust me, in another 2 years, your competitor would have saved up to get that same technology. If location is what you have as your prime factor, trust me, real estate is everywhere. But your people are the only things that your competitor cannot imitate. And that delves into how do you treat your people. Now, it's a tough business to start, I must tell you. The reason is because a lot of entrepreneurs recognize that they need people, but they are not prepared to do the right things to attract, retain, and motivate their people to stay. So let me give an example. You have a small business, you've just started, let's pick anything, catering, making cakes and things like that. But you can't bake alone. The minute the others become so much, you need to find somebody else to join you in the business. So how then do you start to put the right structures in place? You have an employment letter, you have the right policies, you can tell the person this is your salary and you stick to paying the salary at a certain time of the month so that the person has some consistency and predictability in their working relationship with you. The young businesses in Nigeria, with the new term you've given me now, the young businesses in Nigeria, they find it extremely difficult to migrate from the one-man mentality. It's tough, but it's easier if the business owner had worked before, because then they understand what it is like to have a resumption time, a closing time, go on vacation, give people raises, bonuses, and things like that. Actually measure their performance. Understand if this person should be promoted or are we just giving the person money based on longevity. All of those HR systems, for me, it drives me personally because I understand that no matter how passionate the business owner is about their business, they cannot do it alone. They need to quickly find the right team that would help them to transcend that vision into a generational business. And that's the main push behind me setting up the People Impact Company. And the businesses that I have had the privilege to support in the last 4 years, it's been an amazing journey, just being able to look at businesses in oil and gas, businesses in catering, in retail, in hospitality. It's been, for me, it's been an amazing experience. It's been challenging nonetheless, but it's the right kind of impact that I want to leave, to be able to put my name behind to say, this is what I do for other businesses.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
So there you have it. We've been chatting with Dr. Koyinsola Ajayi. He is one of the foremost legal minds in Nigeria. It's just amazing listening to him and hearing how Olaniwa Ajayi started off as a small business, now young business, we call it, since 1962, and 59 years later, they are going on strong. And if anything, one of the gems I'd like to leave you with is, as a young business owner, you need to create a brand for yourself. You need to be committed to a vision that is larger than you. You must be consistent in your pursuit of excellence in order to be able to make that business generational, like Olaniwa Ajayi is. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Journeys in Entrepreneurship. This interview was recorded on the 17th of September 2021 at Professor Koin Ajayi's office in Lagos. We look forward to hearing about your aha moments in the comment section below. This is the final episode of Journeys in Entrepreneurship Season 2, and we invite you to look out for the launch of Season 3 in a few months.